The following podcast is brought to you by the Media Studies and Communication Department at Dominican University of California. Lock your doors, check under the bed, and turn on a nightlight because it's about to get scary. I, DJ Ghost, will be your guide through all things paranormal. Listen at your own risk because when you listen, you won't be able to sleep tonight. You better keep one eye open. Hello and welcome to One Eye Open, and when you listen, you won't be able to sleep tonight. I am your host, DJ Ghost. Today we are going to be going through the top 10 most haunted places in the US. And honestly, doing some research about these places creeped me out. There are some crazy backstories in places that I have never even heard about. Starting at number 10, the Clown Motel. The Clown Motel is located in Tonopah, Nevada. This is a place for people who can't say no to a dare. It is an old school motel that is home to a collection of 2,000 clown figures and some creepy, ghostly vibes. The owner, Ame Anad, said that he had seen some ghosts, but usually they are friendly. Next to the motel is a cemetery, which definitely adds to the scariness. Ame added to the scariness by converting some rooms into horror movies. Personally, I would never be able to stay the night in this motel, especially not with tons of clowns staring at me while I'm sleeping, and also with it being haunted as well. Number 9. The Whaley House. The Whaley House was built for the Whaley family back in 1957. It served as a multitude of services, from a general store to a theater. However, many horrors followed. Their baby Thomas Jr. died after birth, and their daughter Violet committed suicide due to a scandal and after losing her marriage. The Whaley House is the most famous of all haunted locations in San Diego. Before many of their tragedies, the Whaleys told the local newspaper that they were experiencing a poltergeist that they had believed was the ghost of James Robinson, who was hanged on the property for stealing a boat before the house was built. The house was also built upon an old cemetery. They would hear footsteps in the house, and people walking past would report that they would see apparitions in the home's windows from the streets. During the house's later periods, workers and visitors claimed to hear strange, unexplained sounds, sights, and even smells. Most would feel a powerful presence whenever they were inside the residence. You can hear and even see a baby and little girl, which were thought to be Violet and baby Thomas. The chandelier will swing back and forth without when present. The lights will turn off and on without explanation too. Number 8. The Winchester Mystery Mansion. Over the course of 40 years, Sarah Winchester had the mansion built to her bizarre specifications in order to appease the ghosts she thought were haunting her. Sarah had lost her daughter and her husband. She struggled and sought the advice of a medium. The medium told her that her husband wanted her to leave her house in Connecticut and move to California. Her husband told her that she needed to use the fortune to build a home for the spirits who had fallen victim to Winchester rifles, or else she would be haunted by them for the rest of her life. Inside, staircases ascended several floors before ending abruptly. Doors opened to blank walls and corners rounded to dead ends. By the turn of the century, she had her ghost house. An oddly laid out mansion with 7 stories, 161 rooms, 47 fireplaces, 10,000 panes of glass, 2 basements, 3 elevators, and a mysterious funhouse-like interior. Many people would claim this house is haunted. Contractors who worked on the house reported Winchester having daily seances with local mediums to attract good spirits who would tell her what to do with the house. She would sleep in a different room every night and use secret passageways to get from room to room so that spirits could not follow her. Sarah died before the house was finished, so the house still holds many secrets. Number 7. The Waverly Hills Sanatorium. During the 1800s and early 1900s, America was ravaged by a deadly disease known by many as the White Death, also known as tuberculosis. This terrifying and very contagious plague, for which no cure existed, claimed entire families and sometimes entire towns. A hospital was constructed on a windswept hill in southern Jefferson County to fight the disease. The disease continued so that a new hospital was built in 1924. Waverly Hills. This new hospital opened 2 years later. It was the most advanced tuberculosis sanatorium in the country, but even then, most patients died. There was no medicine at the time to treat the disease, so all they could do is offer them rest, fresh air, and nutritious food. Most patients did not survive the gruesome attempts of treating the disease. The patients that did survive left Waverly Hills through the front door. Many others left through what became known as the Body Chute, an enclosed tunnel for the dead led from the hospital to the railroad tracks at the bottom of the hills. The bodies were lowered in secret to the waiting trains. There were estimated about 6,000 people that died there, so there is no wonder why this place is considered to be one of the most haunted places in the country. After the hospital was shut down for good, there were many attempts to break down the sanatorium, but they all failed. The hospital soon gained a reputation for being haunted, and stories began to circulate of resident ghosts, like a little girl who was seen running up and down the third floor, a little boy who was spotted by a leather ball, the hearse that appeared in the back of the building dropping off coffins, the woman with bleeding wrists who cried for help, and others. Visitors told of slamming doors, lights in the windows, as if the power was still running, strange sounds, and eerie footsteps in empty rooms. Others told of a man in a white coat who was seen walking in the kitchen and the smell of cooking food. However, the greatest legend was connected to the fifth floor. One of the rooms on the fifth floor, room 502, is the subject of many rumors and legends. This is where people have seen shapes moving in the windows, have heard disembodied voices, and some people have even jumped to their deaths. The biggest misconception is that this floor housed mentally ill tuberculosis patients. Many people committed suicide in room 502. Over the course of the next year, volunteers working said they experienced ghostly sounds, heard slamming doors, and saw lights appear in the building when there shouldn't have been, had objects thrown at them, were struck with unseen hands, saw apparitions in the doorways and corridors, and more. Number 6. The Sally House. In the mid-1800s, the home of Second Street had seen its fair share of owners, including a family of a 6-year-old named Sally. She died in the home during a botched appendicitis surgery. Tony and Deborah Pickman that lived in the home began noticing strange occurrences, including attacks on Tony, unexplained voices, and apparent burnt finger marks upon mysteriously burning candles. After extensive investigations, it was discovered that Sally wasn't the only ghost haunting the home, but a middle-aged woman as well who was known to be Sally's mom. The mother still grieves her child and is the one who supposedly attacks the visitors, but Sally is a happy ghost that tries to play with the children that move in. No families stay long due to the vicious attacks, usually to the adult males. It is suspected that the doctor who bought Sally's surgeries buried the bodies of Sally and her mother somewhere on the premises or in the basement. Number 5. Zach Bagans Haunted Museum. Zach Bagans developed a profound interest in the paranormal when he was just 10 years old, scouring nearby garage sales with his mom in search of odd and spooky collectibles. His fascinations evolved into a lifelong pursuit for answers about the afterlife. He wanted to give everyone a chance to experience the spine-chilling vibe of the spirit world in his museum. Paranormal enthusiasts visiting his museum ventured down creepy winding hallways and secret passages into more than 30 rooms that rival scenes from Hollywood horror films, setting the stage for frightening facts about each paranormal piece, such as the Dybbuk box, known as the world's most haunted object. This vintage cabinet inspired the movie The Possession and is said to house a malicious spirit. Shortly following its arrival, mysterious protruding holes began to appear in the walls around the artifact as something was trying to break out from within the exhibit. A Las Vegas marketing executive witnessed a black cloaked figure pass through the exhibit's closed doors during a private tour. However, the most unsettling is the original staircase from the Indiana Demon House, notorious for its powerful paranormal activity before being demolished in 2014. The wooden banister and creaky steps from the house now stand in a dimly lit corner, resting on a blanket of dirt from the location. Following its installation, a group of construction workers walked off the job and refused to come back. Would you ever visit this museum, or are you too scared? Number 4. The Conjuring House. When the movie The Conjuring came out, most viewers assumed that the movie was nothing but the wild imaginations of director James Wan. However, the movie is rooted in a horrifying true experience of Ed and Lorraine Warren. Ed Warren was a World War II veteran and a former police officer who became a self-possessed demonologist after studying the subject on his own. His wife Lorraine claimed to be a clairvoyant and medium who was capable of communicating with the demons that Ed discovered. In 1952, Ed and Lorraine founded the New England Society for Psychic Research, the oldest ghost hunting group in New England. They quickly gained respect as paranormal investigators after their initial investigation at the Amityville hauntings. Their two most famous cases were heavily popularized by the Conjuring franchise, a series of movies that focuses on Ed and Lorraine's experiences exorcising demons from two possessed families. The movies seem over-dramatized and impossible to believe, but the Warrens said all the events depicted were almost 100% accurate. This is a true story. In January 1971, the Perrin family moved into a 14-room farmhouse in Harrisville, Rhode Island, where Carolyn, Roger, and their 5 daughters began to notice strange things happening almost immediately after they moved in. It started small. Carolyn would notice that the broom would go missing or seem like it would move from place to place. She would hear the sounds of something scraping against the kettle in the kitchen when no one was there. She'd find piles of dirt in the center of a newly cleaned kitchen floor. The girls began to notice spirits around the house. For the most part, they were harmless. However, there were a few that were angry. Carolyn allegedly researched the history of the home and discovered that it has been the same family for 8 generations and that many of them had died under mysterious or horrible circumstances. Several of the children had drowned, one was murdered, and a few of them hanged themselves in the attic. In the film, the spirit Bathsheba was the worst of them all. She perceived herself to be a mistress of the house and she resented the competition that Caroline posed for that position. Turns out there was a real person named Bathsheba Sherman who lived on the parents' property in the mid-1800s. She was rumored to be a Satanist and there was evidence that she had been involved in the death of a neighbor's child. The family experienced other spirits as well that smelled like rotting flesh and would cause beds to rise off the floor. The father would enter the basement and feel a cold, stinking presence behind him. The children would feel like they were going to pass out. The mother would begin to speak a language not of this world and a voice not of her own. Her chair levitated and she was thrown across the room. Number 3. The Queen Mary. The Queen Mary ship was built in Clydebank, Scotland, under the ownership of Conard White Star Line. She sailed in 1936 from England to New York City. For 3 years, her prestigious wealthy passengers included royalty, movie stars, statesmen, and prominent politicians who sailed in elegance and experienced the grand era. After years of financial difficulties, the Queen Mary was retired in 1967 and moved to Long Beach, California. As the Queen Mary moved into her new role as a tourist attraction with restaurants, a museum, and even a faculty, there are rumors of ghosts and spirits roaming the ship. Children's voices can be heard playing in the nursery. A spirit of a sailor who was accidentally killed in the engine room still there. A mysterious lady in white is a frequent visitor. Visitors in the swimming pool area report having the hair on their arms stand up with an eerie sense of spirits behind them. Number 2, Lizzie Borden House. Two people were murdered in 1892, and the nation can't stop thinking about them. Andrew and Abby Borden were in their Fall River, Massachusetts home when someone took a hatchet to their heads with repeated blows. That someone is the reason behind their death's permanence in historical memory was likely their daughter and / stepdaughter, Lizzie. The suspicion of Lizzie Borden from her odd demeanor upon finding her father's body, when one police officer told the court she was cool with a steady voice and no tears, to her reputation as a sedate church volunteer and not a frenzied killer, had captured the nation's attention for generations. Yet some recent changes to the site of the killing may forever affect how the narrative gets told. It is hard to encapsulate the complexities of August 4th, 1892. That morning, the family's maid, Bridget Sullivan, awoke from a nap to Lizzie calling her. Sullivan confirmed that Andrew had been struck 10 or 11 times while reclining on the sitting room sofa, his face a sea of blood. Lizzie sent her out of the house to fetch various people while remaining inside. As locals began to gather at the scene, the question raised of Abby Borden's whereabouts. Lizzie said Abby had gone out to tend a sick friend. Then she said she thought she had heard Abby come into the house. Sullivan and a neighbor discovered her body in the guest room with 19 hatchet wounds. Forensics determined that she has predeceased her husband by at least an hour. And attention slowly began to focus on Lizzie, who stood to financially benefit if her stepmother's relatives were passed over. Lizzie was arrested for the murders on August 11th, and a year later, after being tried by a jury of men, Lizzie was acquitted. While she was found guilty, the court of popular opinion indicted her based on the evidence before them. Her attempts to buy poison the day before the murders, telling a friend she thought something bad might happen, and the amount of time that passed between the two murders in a locked house. This meant that the killer somehow lay in wait for at least an hour, avoiding being detected by Lizzie, Bridget, and after he came home from errands, Andrew. Who do you think is guilty? Last and certainly not least, number 1, the Stanley Hotel. Located in Estes Park, Colorado, it is not only famous for its old world charm and excellent service, but its active paranormal phenomena and spirit folklore. The Stanley Hotel has hosted many famous guests, including the famous Stephen King, whose experience inspired his book and movie The Shining. The hotel is said to host a number of other worldly visitors. The most notable is Stanley himself, who was often seen in the lobby and the billiard room, which was his favorite room while he was still alive. Flora Stanley also haunts this hotel, continuing to entertain guests with her piano playing in the ballroom. Employees and guests report they can see piano keys moving. One of the rooms that is the most haunted is room 407. It is haunted by many different spirits. Room 418 gets the most reports of haunting activity, apparently from children's spirits. Cleaning crew report having heard many strange noises coming from the room, as well as seeing impressions on the beds when the room has been empty. When guests stay in the room, they often report that they hear children playing in the hallways at night. One couple reportedly checked out of the hotel very early in the morning, complaining that the children in the hallway kept them up at night. However, there were no children booked in the hotel at the time. There also have been many reports by guests of haunting activities in room 217 and 401. Tour guides tell a story of the ghost of a small child who has been seen by many of the staff in various areas of the old hotel. Reportedly, Stephen King also saw the child who was calling out to his nanny on the second floor. And that's it, the top 10 most scary and haunted places in the U.S. Thank you so much for listening. Remember to keep a nightlight on tonight and check under your bed. I am DJ Ghost, and this has been When I Open. See you next time.